listening to Seattle's sports leader.
Yes, sir!
93.3 KJR-FM Seattle.
An iHeartRadio station. Available everywhere on our free iHeartRadio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
And tonight, after this, you want styles and profile to be the man. You've got to beat the man. Woo!
And we roll into the final hour of this train wreck. It's the show about nothing. It's Puck and the go-to guy, Jacob, is here as well. He's filling in for Christopher Anthony Kidd. Headlines brought to you by Buddies, Goodies, and Glass. I'm being correct on the text line how to say it. I did say I did not know how to pronounce the drug. So, you know, somebody called me a cabbage brain.
What? How do you correctly pronounce it? You got it yet?
Ayahuasca.
Okay. And it's
this is like 15 different people saying you're a moron. It's pronounced ayahuasca. So all these idiots are on it.
What were you calling it?
I don't know. Not that.
Okay.
Someone said it's a phenomenal drug.
Hmm.
Ayahuasca. That's what Aaron Rodgers was on down in Peru, getting high on ayahuasca tea.
Can you get it at Whole Foods or something?
You probably can. Or they
how
generally
about buddies?
Have
buddies have that.
They generally have psychedelic drugs at Whole Foods.
I mean, the mushrooms out here in our fields.
Yeah, you can go pick mushrooms, sure.
But not. You wouldn't get the ayahuasca or whatever.
I don't know. We'll have to find out. We'll ask Egan, because Egan, he hunts for mushrooms in the winter for this stuff, and he harvests them in the summer. We'll get to him in a second. All right, headlines are brought to you again by Buddies, Goodies, and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddies. Mariners and Angels tonight, game one of a four-game series, as the schedule lightens up a bit for you. The Los Marineros trying to take advantage now of teams in front of them. Mariners are 57-49. You look at the wild card standings. And they find themselves 2.5 games back of the Blue Jays for that top spot. Half game ahead of the Rays right now for the final spot. They, though, are clear, 2.5 games there of the Guardians and the Orioles 2.5 games back as well. And, again, we've mentioned this before, they, similar situation like last year. They don't feel like they're in it. But how mad would you be if you're an Orioles fan? I mean, you haven't sniffed the playoffs forever, and then you just trade away everyone.
Yeah, you're right there.
God, it's just miserable.
You're right there. 2.5 out.
And I'm going to go back to that quote from that. This applies to every team in sports. This executive that gave this quote to Jason Sark of The Athletic, talking about the Padres, but it applies to any owner that owns a team. I give their ownership a ton of credit. They're financially committed to building an incredible major league product. So obviously they're thinking that if you invest in building a strong brand, the money will all work out in the long run. And I also think that if I owned a team, this is the most important part because it goes for everyone. If I owned a team, I'd be thinking it's fun to win. So what's the most fun thing we could do for me and our fans to watch? Let's do that. God, it's just so simple. So simple. And so many teams don't practice this. You know, they just don't. And the Orioles would be one of them. They just literally just did not practice that. The Oakland A's, they're one of them. They don't practice that.
You find yourself pulling for the Padres? Just so that it
yeah, I do.
I mean, you look at it and you go, okay, here's what it takes. I mean, they had to do something like that to be on a level where the Dodgers are.
It's not just about spending for them. They also built up their farm system. They allowed them to pull off some trades, and they've did it, you know, both ways. So yeah, I am kind of pulling for them in a weird way.
Yeah.
And they're our natural rival.
They are.
All right, let's get to it. Oh, and Jerry DePoto on with Softy and Fain today, 5 o'clock today, right here on 93.3 KJR FM. Obviously, it got to be a big topic. It's got to be about Mitch Haniger. I don't understand it. You don't understand it. Mitch is maybe the only one that understands it. He has played 11 games, and apparently, it's his decision when he wants to come back.
Yeah, I heard Bucky talking about it this morning.
He should be back tonight, and he should be in the lineup tonight for the Mariners.
Because how many games has he played with Everett and Tacoma?
He's 11.
11?
He played 3 with Everett, 8 in Tacoma. And he's been playing in the field. He's been DHing. He is okay to go. They've deemed him okay to go. It's time to go.
Yeah, it seems like he's another week away, maybe 5 days away.
Maybe
for the first game of the Yankees.
I'm holding out hope that before we get off here today that we find a press release that they've activated.
And then France will be back tonight.
So let's go. Come on. Come on, Mitchie. All right, let's get to it. They called him Mr. Mushroom back in the day. Ladies and gentlemen, from King 5, it is Chris Egan. Hello, Chris.
Oh, Jim Moore, Jason Puckett, if there isn't a rainbow over the state of Washington right now, I tell you what a time. I mean, it is just, the weather's beautiful. We're in August, guys. I wake up, my 12-year-old son wants to know who's pitching, what time is the first pitch. He's breaking down all the Mariners. We've got the Hydros in the water. Woo! As we speak, guys. Seafair is back. The Storm are selling out. You got Sue Bird's regular season finale on Sunday. The Seahawks are in pads. We've got the Huskies. The Cougs are working out. I mean, high school football is just around the corner. Boeing Classic, Rumble at the Ridge on Monday, Jim Moore. I mean, what else could you ask for right now in the beautiful Pacific Northwest? I tell you what, it's just, it's a golden time. The Sounders, the rain. I mean, it's just, it's glorious time right now.
Did you miss anything? Yeah. I don't think you did. I didn't know that much stuff was going on there,
thanks,
Egan.
Thanks a lot, Russell.
The Piala Fair is only about 3 weeks away, my friend, as well, too. So Blake Shelton going to kick things off there. So, I mean, I tell you what, it's a gold. It's like I said, there's a rainbow over the state of Washington, and it's a good time right
now. Hey, have you ever figured out that thing with the fair? Am I going to come down and help you?
You are going to come down and help me. Yes, I've got you signed up. You're going to help judge scones one day, and then I'm trying to get us in on the Onionburg judging contest as well, too. So
you want to come on down for that?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, you're locked in.
Yeah, see, I think you can call it the Puyallup Fair if you're from Puyallup, right?
Or, yes.
Because it's always going to be the Puyallup Fair.
Of course it is.
Well, and I always get – they always frown upon me. You know, it's the Washington State Fair now. Oh, but, yeah, you're right, Jim. If you're from the biggest city that ends and starts with a P, you that's how we call it. You know, we grew up as the Puyallup Fair. But I get it. You know, it's the Washington State Fair. But for me, it's always the Puyallup Fair.
Are the scones really that good, or is it just because you're there that you feel like you need to say that they're that good?
Jimmy, if you're going to have a scone, you've got to get it right coming out of the oven because it will just melt in your mouth. The same thing with an elephant ear as well. Oh. You want to get them fresh. If you don't get them fresh, then, you know, I'm not a big fan of bringing a dozen scones home because they're just not the same the next day. You got to get them right there. So I only usually get one or two, and I put them down right then. So get them fresh.
Yeah, I love the scone, but I go down there for the elephant ear. That's my go-to. I love
you
that
go
elephant
a little,
ear. God, it's so good.
Weight loss for life. It's all over the menu there.
I just love it. I mean, it's fried dough with sugar. Oh, my God. I mean, inject that into my veins. Just let me snort it. Let me do anything. God almighty, it's good.
Puckett Moore, by the way, Luke Egan's right by my side here. And you're telling me we don't have Mariner fever? He's 12, and he just said, Dad, it's Robbie Ray, Flex, Kirby, Marco, Logan, Luis, Robbie Ray. So he is so locked in on this Mariners team, he's writing down the starters for the next 7 days. So he's given the 7-day forecast. So he's jacked. He's ready to go.
Then let's put him on the air and get rid of you.
Well, we can. Luke, do you want to go on the air?
Yeah, put him
he
on.
Says no. Yeah. And by the way, I'm giving my shout out of the day. This wasn't even on my list of Puckett, but Jamal Crawford, the crossover league, which he has been bringing to Seattle, which it just brings in NBA greats, local college players. They played at SPU. Last week, I took my little Luke up there to watch Paulo Banchero, Chet Holmgren on the same team, taking on Jaden McDaniels. And I'm telling you what, Jamal Crawford, you can't thank this guy enough for what he does for our community. But the place was sold out. Paulo Banchero put on a show, 50 points. Jaden McDaniel had 52 points. After the game, Paulo comes over, big arm around Luke Egan, and gives him a pair of shoes. I tell you what, that guy, we're watching in a kid from Seattle, guys, and I'm not joking. He could become the next LeBron James, Michael Jordan. I think he's that good.
Mm. Wow. Jeez, I mean, don't put any pressure
Chris,
on him.
Do you know how much longer that that people can go to SBU and watch those games?
There's a few more weeks of it, yeah. And you could follow them on – I know they're all over Twitter and Facebook crossover. But here's the other one. This Saturday at Tacoma Community College, all those players are going to be in the Isaiah Thomas tournament. So you're going to have – Isaiah Thomas, Paulo Banchero, Jordan Poole, I believe, is going to be playing down there. So I've heard rumors that the Ball brothers may be rolling into the 253 this weekend. So they're going to be at Tacoma Community College all day tomorrow. So if you love hoops, you like the NBA, TCC is the place to go tomorrow.
Yeah, he is just an ambassador for the game of basketball in this area. He just is. And when the Sonics come back and we get an NBA team, I would hope whoever owns the team, the first person to reach out to would be Jamal Crawford. And just ask Jamal, what would you like to do? What role in the organization would you like? And allow him to name what he would like to do. That's what I would do. What are you going to be doing?
Get him involved.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing for the Hydros? Does King 5 have it this year?
You better believe it, my friend. King 5 will be on Kong TV, you know, the old King Kong, Kong TV. So just one dial up channel. I always love when people complain to me like, God, why is it on King? And I'm like, all you have to do is hit your remote one spot up. And they still complain like, no, you're going from 5 to 6. It's not hard. So 1 to 5 on Sunday. Live coverage. Paul Silvey will be up in the tower, you know, overhead with Mark Allen. And I will be in the pits from basically I'll be there from 8 a.m., but the broadcast is from 1 to 5. And I tell you what, we got the Miss Home Street rolling into town. Jimmy Shane, they took home the Columbia Cup title. You got Dave Philwalk. I know Jim.
Philwalk's still driving? Is Philwalk driving?
Yes, Jim, and he flipped over.
He lost his fingers at one point, didn't he?
He did, and he's one of the best drivers of all time. He'll be in the Miss Beacon Plumbing. Keep an eye on J. Michael Kelly, and then the boat I love, the old cannery boat right out of Sumner, Jamie Nilsson in that boat, and Jeff Bernard in the Goodman Real Estate boat. That's going to round it out. So 4:30 will be the finals. Kong TV is the place to be. Paul Silvey. Up in the tower, I'll be in the pits giving you the play-by-play. If anything goes wrong, I'll be right there for you guys.
How do we not have a Boy Alberto? How do we not have a Mr. Boy Alberto?
You know what? It's interesting. Ian Ferdess and myself, about 4 days ago at Seahawks, started talking about favorite boats. And I tell you what, I don't know what about you two, but Seafair just kind of brings the kid out of everybody. All of a sudden, you know, Bob Condotta starts chiming in that he covered the Hydros for 7 years and explained to Ian and I that there's never been a good pizza boat. Then you got Greg Bell, who said he covered the Hydros for 6 years. And, you know, my favorite boat of all time, the KISW Miss Rock or the Squire Shop. And Bob Condotta, and Bob just kind of, you know, dampers me. I'm like pumping up the Miss Rock and the Squire Shop. He's like, yeah, Egan, those two boats really never won a whole lot. But, yeah, they're fun boats.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Hey, well, you're talking. Hold on, though. You're talking. Yeah. How many people have you talked to that are in the Hydroplane Hall of Fame?
Go ahead, you.
Well, I mean, you got Chip Hanauer, Dave Vilwalk, and then the last time I did the broadcast, guys, Pat O'Day, the legend. I mean, he was before Puckett. There was Pat O'Day at KGR Sports Radio.
But aren't you in the Hall of Fame?
No, I'm not in the Hall of Fame.
What award did you get?
I just won Hydro Writer of the Year one year.
Hydro Writer of the Year over here.
It was when Steve
I did not know that.
Well, Steve Turcotte was involved with the Racing Commission at the time, and he just said to me one day, he goes, hey, Moore, have you won Hydro Writer of the Year yet? And I said, no. And he goes, well, we'll just give it to you this year. So it wasn't really based on much of anything but that. So the thing I enjoyed covering Hydros. I mean, the people were all so nice. You know, I go over to the Columbia Cup. I play golf in the morning, go to the pits, hit the bars at night. And then Seafair was a fun deal, too, there. Stan Sayre's pits and just really – and it's a tradition that goes so far back
It's so awesome it's back.
Yeah, it's awesome it's back, but it just seems like it's, you know, more Seattle back in the day than right now. I think people are more into the Blue Angels than they are the boats on the water.
But for someone who has to go over there every day, 5 days a week over to Bellevue, it's been cool this week to see it start. You've seen the track being laid out. Then you see the log boom out there now. Then all the little big yachts are going out there setting up. I was telling the girls, like, what are all those boats doing out there? I'm like, well, they're going to stay out there. Well, where are they? Are they sleep on the boat? Yeah, they're just on the boat. They're going to be there all week. And it's awesome. And then to see all the other boats on the north side of I-90 because they were all out there waiting for the Blue Angels. This is what, you know, we have lost a lot about from this town in about the last 5 years. A lot of tradition, a lot of stuff, you know, buildings going away. And the one thing I don't want to go away, and people, whatever, the Hydros are the Hydros. Do I get all excited to go watch the Hydros? No, but it's just a part of a tradition of being here. The Torchlight Parade, the Pirates coming up on West Seattle, on Alki. It's fun. That's what it used to be around.
Well,
here.
Back in the day, we had, what, Husky football and the Hydros. I mean, it was.
Yeah. So it's,
I mean,
it's cool.
God bless you, Puckett. Jason Puckett from Mayor right there. I mean, he said it, Jim. It's the fabric. It's tradition. And you know what? Is it as big as it was in the 60s, 70s, and 80s? No, but I'm just so happy it's back. And, yes, that place Saturday and Sunday is going to be packed to the rafters down there. The log boom's already filling up. Maybe the racing's not the same, but you know what? It's a tradition. It's fun to see this tradition continue. You know, it's just this freaking COVID killed so many traditions, sure. And it's exciting that this is coming back. The Washington State Open, it's not a big deal on your guys' radar, okay? But if you're a tennis fan, this is a tournament over at the Seattle Tennis Club where professional players come and play. 132nd running of the Washington State Open. It was only not available 2 years because of COVID. It is back. I was there last night. The place was packed to the rafters. It was just so the tennis community lost a tradition for 2 years. That's back. So that's exciting. So it's just, I love tradition, and there's so many in the Pacific Northwest. And when it comes to Seafair, it's one of the best.
I didn't even know about it. So 130, they've been doing this for 130 plus years. And where's
let me correct myself on the air, Puckett. The club, the Seattle Tennis Club down there on the water, has been open 132 years.
Wow.
This is this year the 130th tournament. So it didn't go 2 years, and that was the last 2 years because of COVID. They will have the semifinals on Saturday and the finals on Sunday, which is it's a great venue because you're watching tennis, you see the lake, you see the Hydros behind you, the Blue Angels. So, great. I mean, it's one of the best venues for tennis in the country right now.
And then you'll probably be in attendance. But then, you know, one of the big – and we haven't talked about this yet, and shame on us for not talking about it. I actually wrote it down yesterday in the notes because I just think that it's not just a women's thing. But, you know, 13,500 people the other day packed an arena to watch basketball. I mean, just think about that for a second. In summer – and I know it's the storm, and they're massively popular, but almost 14,000 people got in. Like, so I mean, this is such a basketball-rich community. Now, they're going to blow that away on Sunday. What are they expected? 18,000-plus over there for her final home game?
Yeah, it is sold out. Yep. I don't think there's a ticket available to get in there on Sunday.
And you're going to see a lot of – I mean, Jordan Poole of the Warriors was there the other day just to watch her play. Lauren Jackson was there the other day. I mean, this thing's going to be crazy probably on Sunday of all the, you know, great basketball dignitaries that will be there. And you know, if that is her final game at the playoffs, I mean, I would think that they're in the playoffs. I would assume they get another home game in the playoffs. But
for sure, Puckett, she's going to have a few more games, and hopefully they can make a run in the playoffs. And we'll have, you know, maybe 5 to 6 or 7 more games. But this was the regular season finale. And the city of Seattle has been mocked by many that, you know, it's a fair weather town, that they'll follow the winner, that they're, you know, they're with the Huskies and they go with the Mariners, and then it's the Seahawks. You know what? It's a pretty smart town, and they understand what Sue Bird has meant to this community. You know, we talk about the tradition that Seafair, you know, that's many, many decades. You know, well, Sue Bird's 2 decades. She's given this city 2 decades of basketball, gold medals, WNBA championships, thousands of dollars to community events, thousands of hours to nonprofit areas. I mean, I think this area understands what she means to our community. She is Seattle. Yes, she's from New York. She played at Connecticut, but her hometown, and she'll say it, is Seattle, Washington, and this is where she has made a big name, and it is going to be so much fun on Sunday. I mean, you talk about a crazy Sunday. The Mariners are going to be packed. You know, Sue Bird's going to be packed. They're going to be busy on Lake Washington with the boats. So, I mean, all eyes are going to be on this city on Sunday, and it's going to be fun to watch it all happen.
That's really cool.
Okay, Chris, last thing I have for you. We can't let you go without talking about your dunk tank experience there at the VMAC.
I'm going to just tell anybody that volunteers for a dunk tank, 4 minutes is more than enough. Never say you're going to do a half an hour. I thought it was cute at first when you got six-year-olds throwing balls and dunking in the water. But after like 7 times, I thought my nose was either breaking or I was bleeding because I was going in so much. I think I got dunked like 60 times, and you have to put a smile on your face every time because it's some cute little kid. And then you're just like, oh, my God, again. So it was fun. But, Jim, I got to throw this one at you because this was even more interesting, and you're a baseball parent, almost got in my first fight at a baseball game.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
What happened?
So I show up to the game, and I like, you know, I'm fine with loud parents. I'm okay with it because I'm not negative, but I'm, you know, I'm pretty loud. And I get there, and there's two dads, and my son is pitching, and I get from the other team, and they're extremely loud. Well, I'm not a parent to back down, so I kind of park right next to them, and, you know, as much as they're yelling for their kids, I kind of yell back with that same energy towards mine. And you can tell it's annoying them because they're probably not used to having somebody that, you know, does that. And at one point, Austin's pitching. There's a runner on second and first. It's a pop-up to the catcher. The umpire says, you know, what's the infield fly rule, correct, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Catcher drops it. The runner is still out at first. Well, Austin so smartly picks up the ball because the runner at second made a mistake and runs to third, throws to third. They tag him out, double play. So the parent next to me to the right, what the hell? What the hell happened? What the hell happened? So the sportscaster and me, well, what happened, sir, was it was infield fly rule. The umpire called it and he threw over to third and they tagged him out. So it's a double play. You are a jerk. You are an a-hole. I go, you ask, I answer. And then I could feel Melanie Egan throw a little hook on me, an imaginary fishing line, and starts reeling me in. And then two of our parents kind of roll up behind me like, okay, Egan, back it down. So, and then we end up losing the game in like the 10th inning off of a bad call from the umpire. And so then my dad stormed the field. So, I mean, it was just a rough
Who stormed the field?
Well, Jim, talk about one of those games that's supposed to be over the 7th inning. It went to the 10th inning, and you've got an umpire that doesn't want to be there. So we're in the bottom of the 10th inning, tie game, runner at third, ground ball to third, play the third to first. The runner is out probably about by 4 feet. The umpire just goes, safe, game over.
So your dad confronted him?
Oh, Ed Egan left the stands and went into the field.
You are these people we see on the internet.
But this was a bad call.
But you're those people.
This was a bad call, Puckett.
Well, what happened in the exchange?
Was there punches thrown?
No punches.
Like, what'd your dad say?
I think he ripped his shirt off. I don't know. He's 80 years old. What are you going to tell the guy? He said in his 80 years, it was the worst call he's ever seen in his entire life.
Oh, my God. God, you know, you're a public figure. You got to bite your lip here.
All I said was I called out the play. I said it was an infield fly rule. And the guy said I was a jerk.
Yeah, but I know how you said it. Well, sir, what you were really thinking in your head was, if you knew anything about sports and baseball, you would know that's an infield fly rule. But you clearly look like somebody that's never watched baseball before, so you wouldn't know.
And more than likely, this guy will now call the Infernet show on the voicemail and, you know, go off on me. But that's okay. Play the voicemail.
You are a bleeping treasure.
Oh, boy. I'll see you from the pits, guys, live.
All right.
Sunday, 1 to 5.
You think you're going to have to fake the enthusiasm a little bit, or...?
No, we were in the production meeting, and they get to me, and the guy, the producer, goes, yeah, we know Egan's fine. Never mind. Let's move on.
Have a blast. We'll be watching.
All right, guys. We'll see you for the Rooster Tails at Lake Washington as the Bilwak and J. Michael Kelly battle for the title.
The best thing is you just keep saying J. Michael Kelly because that's the only one you really know. So it's fine.
Well, I got Jimmy, Shane, and Dave Philwalk in there too, Buck. Come on.
Yeah, all right. We'll see you next week. There he is, Chris Egan, King 5, who joins us every single Friday. We will put a bow on this show next. Big thanks there to Chris Egan, who joins us every Friday. Never know where that thing's going to go. You never know where that's going to go. So check him out on Kong this weekend. The Hydros are back. Everybody go out there now. Have some fun. Saturday Sports Live is tomorrow. Brand new show. Jacob will be there. He'll be one of the hosts, but he'll be producing. He'll be chiming in. I'll be led by Jackson Feltz and Anders Hurst tomorrow, 9 to 11 here on these airwaves and For the next, 4 or 5 weeks, that they will be on the air every single Saturday. Jerry DePoto will be on with Softy and Fain today, 5 o'clock, so make sure you set your radio dial. 5 o'clock today, Softy and Fain sit down with Jerry DePoto. What do you want to hear? He'll knock it out of the park. He always does. He's DePoto's, he's very skilled at doing interviews. Really good.
Oh, he's great at it.
Really good
at it. Yeah. He's got the team in good position here.
Of course he does. They're in prime shape, especially with them taking on, you know, who they're taking on here in the next 4 days. And just, you know, boat race these Angels. And they can thank the Angels kind of for this turnaround, really. I mean, there's many markers in this season where it's turned around for the Mariners, and one of them being that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything that led from that. That was supposed to end them with all the suspensions and all that. It did not. They weathered that storm. They have weathered this storm without Julio and Ty France. You know, at least with New York, and they come back and they take 2 out of 3, and their offense looked great. France is expected back tonight, correct?
Yeah, France back tonight. Mitch probably a week away. Julio and Dylan Moore probably 6 days away. Maybe Julio and Dylan Moore will be ready for the road trip that starts at Texas next Friday.
The Hannigan one I don't understand, but it's the individual, and I guess what I do understand is, you know, if he is saying, you know, inside I don't feel right, then okay. But, I mean, it's been 11 games, and he's looked good, and they expect him to be up and ready to go.
Yeah, I'm sure if you're Mitch Haniger, though, you're thinking, okay, I want to get back, and I want to help my team. And I want to get back because it's my free agent year.
Yeah.
But I don't feel quite there yet. Maybe, you know, you would push it a little more if you're in his position, but I'm just going with whenever he feels like he's ready to come back.
I guess ultimately it should be up to the player.
Yeah. And he hasn't been doing all that well down there. I heard Bucky saying he was hitting .238 or something like that. He has a couple home runs, 5 hits in 8 games.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, do you think there's going to be benches clearing? Are there going to be some pitches thrown at Angels? Pitches thrown at Mariners.
No, I mean, I think they've...
You think
they've,
that's all
I
over?
I think we've moved past that, but you never know with Nevin, who's with the Angels. Maybe not. Maybe it will continue. But
okay.
I mean, I don't... I would think that's over.
You're not expecting, like, fireworks during the game?
No. Well, there are fireworks tonight, aren't there?
Yeah, tonight after the game.
And we're going.
You're going? You'll be there.
I've never done a fireworks night.
Okay. Is it a themed music fireworks night?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Okay, 7 games, right? Okay, we got a doubleheader tomorrow, and then Sunday afternoon, and then 3 against the Yankees. Would you be happy with 4-3? I would. 4-3 be okay. I mean, certainly 5-2, 6-1, but you're thinking thinking 5-2 though.
5-2,
yeah. Okay.
They got a boat race. They just hammer these guys. The Angels are terrible. Just hammer them. And then we got a juicy matchup next week. I mean, they get the pitching rotation next week if it bears out again. The game that we're going on Tuesday next week, it's gonna be Cole and I think Cole and Castillo again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
juicy.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Juicy, juicy, juicy. Sing along fireworks night.
Oh, okay. So you and your family can sing along tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not because I can't sing, but you know, they can.
Can't sing at all?
No, I cannot. Cannot carry a tune.
Okay. So you try and do it anyway? I mean, Kathy tries to do it.
No, yeah. Just kind of, you know, I just fake my way through it. So they will have that tonight. They're supposed to be 40,000 plus people there.
What do you think they're going to do with the rotation? I heard Jerry saying something about it's going to be a 6-man rotation for the next 2 turns, and then they're going to go back to a 5-man with like 2 guys piggybacking.
Oh, okay.
On 1 game.
Well, that's something we'll probably find out tonight at 5 o'clock when Softy and Fain sit down with Jerry DePoto. I mean, yeah, I guess it's a good problem to have.
Who would you piggyback Kirby with? Because Kirby's one of the piggybackers, right? Maybe you have Kirby start and then Marco come in. Like the guy you want out of the rotation if one guy's going to be booted is Marco more than anybody else, right? Or is it Kirby because of the innings limit?
Well, I mean, again, you're talking to the Marco president of the president of Marco's fan club.
No, so I know that.
No, who would I? Oh God, who would you piggyback him with?
And then would you have Kirby come in second or have him lead off?
I think I would piggyback Kirby with Flexen.
Kirby with Flexen.
And just have him come in second.
Okay. I think you have to, I agree with you. I think you have to guard against, like, you talk about hurting feelings, that it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, he'll take
but
it personally.
But with Marco,
if you
doesn't
did that
like
with him.
He doesn't like that kind of thing.
If you did that with him, he'd you chance you'll lose him a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that six-man rotation when they used it last year, he did not like that
at
all.
He was not a fan of it.
Yeah.
Nor was he a fan of signing Robbie Ray.
Yeah, certain players you kind of have to appease a little bit.
Yeah, pick and choose. I mean, Kirby could be dominant kind of in this role. Maybe they move it around. I mean, maybe he's not married. Well, I know you'd have to keep it synced up, right, for him to be on his turn. So, I don't know. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, Kirby's around 100 innings combined with minor leagues and then major leagues. And they're talking about, what, 120 to 130? Yeah. So,
well, they've never really said the figure. That's just everyone has speculated on the figure. Okay. But that's the speculation has been that.
So, you would think, what, 3 to 4 innings for him every time out now?
Sure.
That's strange, isn't it? I mean, it's just weird to think that, okay, I understand, big picture, you got to be aware of that, but 21 years, Kirby's one of your best pitchers, but you got to guard against potential injury down the road.
You do, but once they get in, I'll be honest with you, it's all hands on and you're going.
Any concerns about Gilbert? And his workload, he hasn't been quite as effective as he was early on.
I mean, mildly. Yeah, I think you have to be. Seems like he's kind of hit a wall a little bit.
Yeah.
And so can they give – I think it would be prudent on them to probably try maybe use him one time. Mm-hmm. Don't let him go a full, seven innings and maybe let Kirby pitch on the piggyback on him. Yeah, I think you have to be a little bit. He's never been through this before.
Right.
And so I think that once they're going to need him – because what do we keep citing once they get in the playoffs? Well, I mean, their three can match up with anybody. Well, one of those guys is Gilbert. And if he's, fatigued by the time you start, then you kind of run into a problem.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think they need to manage him a little bit, too.
I think the best case fit scenario for them is if they could really just push hard right now, take advantage of this schedule. When they get to that last week or two and they find themselves wherever in earshot of maybe catching the Blue Jays or maybe about a couple weeks out, they've kind of cemented themselves in some type of role. Maybe they can massage it just a little bit to give those guys a rest and then just go full bore. Once the playoffs start, then you just say to yourself, innings, we're throwing the innings out. And we're throwing any concerns about anything else out, and we're going.
Yeah. I don't know, though, with the wild card race being what it is, I think they're going to be pushing all the way to the finish.
Probably right. The only thing that kind of stinks about this year is like old school baseball people is this. You're really void right now of any good pennant races.
Is everybody running away with all the divisions?
The only one that really is, NL East, yes. The only really good one is the AL Central because the Twins, Guardians, White Sox are all separated by 2 games. And then the NL East. Because they're playing right now. The Mets won the first game, but they're playing right now. Mets and Braves are playing a 5-game series, and the Braves are 4.5 back. Other than that, everything's over.
Hmm.
Dodgers are up 12.5 games. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. The NL Central, too. Cardinals, Brewers. That's a good one because they're tied.
Okay.
But, Pirates are 14. I mean, they're done. But, Mariners are 11.5 back. Blue Jays are 10.5 back of the Yankees.
Where are the Padres?
Padres are 12.5 games back of the Dodgers.
Yeah, they're not going to make
good,
that up. But,
that's how good the Dodgers have been.
They'll cut that in half, won't they, maybe?
Depending where the Dodgers end up. I mean, you want to talk about spicy? They're the four. So 4-5. 4-5. Braves and Padres would be the first round matchup. Hmm. In the postseason now. And then the Padres would then play the Dodgers in the NLDS. That'd be kind of okay. That'd be pretty damn good. All right, that's it for us. Thank God this is over, huh?
Plowing ahead!
Coming up next.
Coach, I'll just tell it like it is. A lot of lack of discipline, at least in the first half here.
Who made you the coach?
No one.
On the shores of Lake Washington with the Blue Angels flying overhead. The hydros are in full effect. The log boom is full of drunks and tops are being thrown off. He'll be out there soon. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ian Furness at Seahawks training camp. Hello, sir.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Gentlemen.
I just watched Blitz mock my son, which is fun.
Okay. Why?
Well, they were playing catch, and one of the throw from the offensive lineman to the skilled bird was not good. It was a bad ball flight. So.
Oh.
Yeah, Blitz is – I'll tell you what. I'd like to be Blitz for a day.
Would you?
You know why? I think you can get away with a lot of stuff.
Are you saying Blitz is a little handsy over there?
I think you can get away with a lot of stuff.
A little handsy over there is Blitz.
I think you can have fun being Blitz for a day. Can I address something?
You may.
What do you think the talk of the media room at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center was today?
I can only imagine. He hurt my feelings.
The general thought was this. I'll give you, because we're big into narratives these days, right, in sports.
Yeah.
Like, what's the narrative?
Yeah.
Narrative, the competition isn't a competition narrative. All that stuff. The narrative in the media room today was, what is his problem? Why is he so petty? Why is he so sensitive?
And then we started
talking about Danny. No.
Yeah.
No, that's it. Like, what? Come on. If you don't love Jim Moore, you got a problem, man.
Somebody's maybe listening right now. Danny O'Neill, former co-worker of the go-to
problem.
Guy, is writing a column for Barrett Sports Media, which is a publication about radio, and talked about the worst co-host he's ever worked with being Jim.
So. Kind of the worst co-worker is what
co-worker, yeah. I mean, it was –
Well, Ian, thanks for saying that. I appreciate that. But no, you know, if you were to talk to Danny, he would probably, you know, tell you why he feels the way that he does.
Well,
it surprised me.
Well,
I did text him and said, you know, Jesus, Danny, really? And I haven't heard back from him, but
same guy that challenged Softy to a fight out here at football practice once. Yep, that's the same guy. Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
I think Softy could have taken him.
I laughed hard because I didn't really see it, but Luke Wilson, I saw him later for a TV appearance, and he comes in and Luke says, and Luke goes, man, did you see it what happened today? I'm like, no. He goes, but we stopped practice. Like, we're all hoping it was going to happen.
Yeah,
like,
of course you were.
They're like, here we go. Yeah, I don't know, Jim. You're one of the better dudes I've ever been around.
Yeah.
I honestly say that. You make me smile and laugh every day either on the air or off, so I'll just leave it at that.
Heart of gold.
Hey, I appreciate that. Thanks, Ian. You bust guys' chops all the time, right? Don't you?
That's what you do, but, you know, I mean, I get it. Whatever. You want to be that guy.
I don't know. A year from now, I may have to write something about how Jim has made me feel oppressed.
Well, I'll show you some of the text, Jim, that he shared with me that Puck has privately, but... You know, jeez. God, I'm so sensitive.
Everybody's
negative. You and I are negative, so that's good too.
Yeah. That guy. You know what? But here's the thing. So a guy, Jim, I didn't even bring this up. A guy reached out for late night tweet to both Ian and I.
Yes.
You know, like 10. I think I'm watching For Mankind, which is a great show on Apple Plus, by the way. Great show.
Is it?
Good. Yeah, great show. And this guy just tweets us like, "You two are so negative. You're the problem with the Mariners."
Mm-hmm.
His
yep,
name,
we are.
Tim Gardner was his name. And I'm like,
yep.
Huh. I'm like, all right, Tim. I mean, I don't, sure. And I said, I'll take the bait. Why not? And so it took me 30 seconds. So where is the dang tweet? Hold on. Where is it at? Here we go. He goes, and we made up though. So I'm just saying. He goes,
yeah,
I think
good.
Both of you are the most negative fans when it comes to the Mariners. Enjoy what's happening. You two need to stop.
Yep.
It took me 30 seconds to go through his Twitter profile, where he said not one, not two, but three negative things about the Mariners. What a joke! when DePoto called the trades under the radar, and then there was another one about
kills Toro.
He
like
hates
every day.
Toro. Toro sucks ass. Yeah. I'm like, so where are the negative ones, Tim?
I went back even further, Puck, after that, just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fan, but that, like,
and that's what we said. And that's what I said to him. Yes. I said, hey, listen, I don't think you hate the Mariners. We don't hate the Mariners. You're a fan. We're a fan, but we can also be critical at the same time.
Never,
and then he goes, you know what? I apologize and agree. I said, there we go.
I've never seen anything like what I'm seeing this year.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
It's weird. We had a guy on the you guys call it voicemails. We call it the talkback.
Yeah.
But, we had a guy calling yesterday, and he had a great point. He goes, it's a civil war.
It's either
you're with us or against
odd.
Us, north and south, and you can't be – You, if you dare say it,
that's being a fan, man.
Yeah, it's,
like, if you want to be buying in all the time, but I think that's just baseball guy. There's too many people in this market that are baseball guy that are just smarter than everybody else. And they it makes all 22 guy look like child's play.
Ugh.
Baseball guy does. Like, all 22 guy used to be the most annoying sports person in the world. Baseball guy now has topped that and then some. Just enjoy the damn games, and I hope we have a brawl tonight.
All right.
Oh, that makes you a bad fan, Ian Bob.
What do you got? What do you got tonight or this afternoon?
We're going to talk to Kobe with a C.
Oh, nice.
Kobe Bryant, who's had just – he's a starting corner, man. It's he's going to start for this football team this year.
Okay.
And, I mean, he's looked every bit the part of the guy that was the best DB in the country last year with the Jim Thorpe Award. So we'll talk to him. And I'm just more curious about the whole Kobe Bryant thing.
Okay.
Why his parents named him that and what it was like growing up with that name and what Kobe Bryant meant to him. So we'll spend some time talking about that with Kobe. Rick Riz.
Nice.
Who is always – always in a good mood,
yes,
and a good fan. He'll join us at 2 o'clock today. I'm looking forward to that as well. And then we will spend a little bit of time talking about the quarterback competition that isn't a competition, but actually there is a precedent for this. And I'm Puck and Jim, I don't know about you guys. As I get older, I forget things. I kind of forgot really how it played out in 2012 with Russell and Matt Flynn until I went back and looked at it, and maybe we are headed down that same path. You know what I'll remember about the quarterback competition that year was this, Puck? When you and I did a show on a Friday up at Snoqualmie Ridge, and then we went to the greatest beer fridge in the history of man at Hugh Millen's house afterwards. That was all, and that was the night of the Kansas City game, I believe.
That's when he stole it. All right. All right, jam-packed show. Ian's coming
see
up live. From
have a great weekend.
Yeah, you
thanks,
as well.
Ian.
Seahawks
love you,
training
Jim.
Camp.
Love
you. We all love Jim.
Love Jim.
All right, we'll see you on Monday. We promise we'll be better.
No shirt, no shoes. No dice.
Anybody like to smoke some pot?
I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for?
We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak Japanese!